Coming up on this week's episode of Search with Candor, I'm talking all about enterprise SEO reporting with Manene Mumbi. We're going to dive into what enterprise SEO is. I know I've already covered that with Matt Hepburn. And we're going to talk about reporting and why it differs when it comes to enterprise clients. Stay tuned for that on this week's episode. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Search with Candor. I am your host, as always, Jack Chambers Ward, and I'm joined this week by Manene Mumbi. We're going to be talking all about enterprise SEO reporting, and SEO reporting is a topic I like to discuss on this show. I know I covered reporting to small clients a little while ago in a previous episode, and we're going to talk about the opposite of that, essentially, talking about enterprise clients, clients with big international sites with loads and loads of pages and URLs and different domains sometimes as well to worry about. How do you adjust your reporting and your style to understand and better report the metrics you should be reporting to those kind of clients? It's a big topic, and I'll get to all of that with Manene after a word from our sponsors. Our sponsor for this week is Wix Studio, the web platform that gives agencies and enterprises the end-to-end efficiency to design, develop, and deliver exactly the way they want. Whether you manage 10 sites or 1,000 sites like some agencies do, here are a few things you can do from start to finish in less than 2 minutes on Studio. You can set up native marketing integrations with Google, Bing, and more in just one click. You can save so much time by reusing custom templates, widgets, sections, and design libraries across all of your sites instead of having to build them from scratch each and every time. You can easily create seamless handovers by adding tutorials, guides, and more to your client dashboards. And speaking of dashboards, you get a full 360 view of all of your projects from one workspace with total control. And whether you're working your site with fellow SEOs, developers, other marketers, you're able to work on the same canvas at the same time with all of your team members. And of course, you'll be able to leverage some of the best in-class SEO defaults, such as server-side rendering and automated structured data markup across all of your Wix sites. That is time up, I'm afraid, but the list keeps on going. Step into the Wix Studio by clicking the link in the show notes or the video description down below and see for yourself. Thank you so much to Wix Studio for sponsoring us here at Search with Candor. My guest this week is the SEO and Innovation Manager at Wordlift. He was also the MC and organizer of the first ever SEO meetup in Nairobi, as well as a speaker at the upcoming Search AfriCon later on in May 2024, which, by the way, includes friends and former guests of the show like Iber Jonathan, who organized the whole thing, Lily Obaja, who has been on the show before, and goodness, Azaborogo, who has been on the show as well. Welcome to the show, Manene Mumbi.
Thank you so much for having me, Jack. That's quite an introduction there. I'm really excited to be on the show.
I wanted to hype you up, man. I'm excited to have you on the show.
you did a great job, for sure.
So, folks, before we kick into anything, by the way, Search AfriCon, like I said, this episode will be coming out the week before Search AfriCon comes out. So it's on the 17th of May, 2024. Yes. Go and check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes. You can get online tickets to watch all of the recordings and stuff like that. Tickets for those recordings are only $10. So you really have no excuse to not get a ticket and check out the digital recording and stuff. So shout out to Search AfriCon. Go and check those out. And we'll get to see you speak, Manene, which is very exciting.
I know it will be the first time I'll be speaking on stage, actually. So I'm pretty excited.
Oh, awesome.
Nervous at the same time.
I think that's pretty normal. That's pretty normal for a first time speaker. Once I speak on a stage, I will let you know. But yes, it is relevant to the topic, I think, as well, because you're going to be talking about reporting and SEO reporting and stuff like that at Search AfriCon. And that is actually kind of the topic, kind of building on a couple of previous episodes as well, actually. We're going to specifically talk about SEO analytics and reporting for enterprise clients specifically. Yep. And this is something I kind of did an opposite, kind of a companion episode with Riley Hope talking about small businesses and medium-sized businesses and the kind of reporting and stuff like that. And actually the first episode of this season with Matt Hepburn was an introduction to enterprise SEO as a whole. Yeah. So you've come at the perfect time to kind of build upon those two previous episodes and complete the trilogy, right? And yeah. create the third piece of this puzzle. So yeah. I guess my first question is, like, why was this the topic you wanted to talk about? What is so interesting about reporting for enterprise clients that you wanted to talk about on the podcast?
I think I've been dealing a lot more with enterprise clients, and I found it to be very interesting in how different. So it shares some similarities with small businesses and the kind of reporting that you do for small businesses. But there are certain nuances that I feel like I have learned over the past couple of 2 years since I started working with Wordlift, where I've had the opportunity to work with some very interesting names, enterprise clients in the industry. And I figured, okay, let's have a conversation about it, and hopefully we can share any information that we have based off of our experiences. And I just love reporting. I love digging into SEO data generally. So the numbers get me really excited, the visualization, all of that stuff. So this is a topic that's very close to me, because I wouldn't say I'm an expert at it yet, but it's something that I've been doing for the past 2 years now, very heavily. So that's been pretty exciting in my world at the moment.
I feel like you get a lot of people who find SEO reporting very scary. So it's nice to have you feel so excited and so impassioned about data visualization and stuff like that. Because yeah. I think that can be such a pain point for whether you're freelance, whether you're in-house, whether you're agency. I don't think it really matters. Reporting can often be a very stressful time when it comes to working out what's important, working out how to do it, who's the best person to speak to, all this kind of stuff. And yeah. I guess that's kind of where I want to start off with is, when you're thinking about enterprise SEO reporting, like, who are we creating this report for, and who are we going to kind of tailor and adjust and make this report for, basically?
That's a very good question. And that's one of the nuances that I think I mentioned that kind of changes whenever you're thinking about enterprise SEO reporting, is that there are different stakeholders when it comes to enterprise SEO. So you'll find, for example, if Jack is the product manager that I'm currently working with for the project, he probably needs to report, the metrics that matter to Jack are very different from the metrics that matter to probably his boss. And then you'll find, maybe in some instances, you'll find an enterprise that is part of a group. So you find the metrics that matter to Jack's boss are very different from the metrics that matter to the group level C-suite guys. So it depends on the stakeholders, and that's where it becomes really interesting, where you need to understand who are you reporting to. So it's not just because SEO has a bunch of different metrics, right? But someone who's handling a bunch of different brands, for example, really doesn't care about how good your impressions are, because you did, you improved the queries on a certain keyword. They're crazy about how much money are you making me, and should I approve this budget next month or next quarter? So it depends on the stakeholder who you're reporting to, and that informs what exactly you need to report about. So I think the baseline for me is always to understand, who am I reporting to, and what exactly are their objective? So the objective, for example, the most immediate stakeholders, their objectives are typically aligned with the regular SEO metrics. So they might be interested in things like the clicks, the impressions, the number of queries that you're ranking for, or what else? The time on page, the number of people visiting.
Yeah, yeah. Engagement metric stuff as well, right? Yeah.
Exactly, right? But then if you go a little, I think that the higher up you go, the more money becomes more relevant, and the regular SEO metrics become more and more irrelevant. But I also saw an interesting post the other day on LinkedIn, someone saying, can we just stop pretending that clicks don't matter in SEO or in marketing in general, because we are constantly talking about, okay, what is the ROI of this initiative? And then we constantly just go back to, okay, fine, how much money is this initiative making me? But then we forget that these clicks do matter, because in most cases, you find the number of clicks that you're getting today in SEO can also be translated, or it's just people coming into your, sales funnel. So your clicks can be translated into your PPC. They can be translated into your marketing for email, your social media, you know, all that stuff. So let's not pretend that clicks don't matter, because they do. I guess it just comes down to how you present them. And I hope I answered that question and did not go on a whole different tangent.
No, absolutely. I think it connects us very nicely to the next couple of questions, because for me, like, when it comes to those bigger clients, like we at Canda, we have a mixture of pretty small, fairly local guys, some national clients, some big international clients, and a kind of a variety of different sizes. A lot of my background comes from local SEO, and my previous agency was much smaller. And I found kind of the knowing who you're reporting to be like the most important thing for me when it comes to tailoring that report and making sure it's actually sending the message you want to send it, if that makes sense. Like, when you're thinking about, you said, if you're reporting to the marketing manager, but they have a head of marketing and the C-suite, you know, CEO people above them as well, I think having things like the little executive summary at the beginning, like a one-page summary of like, everything is going well, here's the clicks, here's the revenue, here's all the important data. So the big, big boss who has 15 seconds to read that report gets the information they need, and they're like, cool, yeah, sign off the budget, no problem. But if you have someone exactly like you were saying there, Monene, like you have somebody who is interested in the data, who cares about the different metrics, there's the option there to delve into a bit more detail, right? And having the balance there of serving so many different versions of this thing, having one that has like, here's the summary, here's the bits. If you want to, the information is there. But if you don't want to, you can get a quick little snapshot. Yeah. For me, that's been like the biggest learning curve for me when it comes to reporting to bigger clients with bigger internal teams and stuff like that, right?
For sure. And I think the trickiest bit for me has been making sure that all these different stakeholders are supported, like in the different, like, because you'll go to a meeting and you think you're just going to meet like the C-suite level, right? And then there's a data analyst in that meeting, and this guy's gonna grill you, because that's his job, right? And his job is also, or his or her job is also, to understand the smaller metrics that probably don't matter much to the boss, but they're also in that meeting. So if you don't understand the kind of stuff that they're grilling you about in regards to their SEO efforts or whatever campaigns that you rolled out, you're gonna look like a fool. And you looking like a fool to him is bad, because you're also looking like a fool to the C-suite guy who is also at the same meeting.
Yeah, 100%. I've totally experienced that, where I was neither the person reporting nor the analyst. Yeah. I was another person in the room, and we had somebody come in and basically try and pitch this idea of using this tool and blah, blah, blah. And they made up, essentially, they kind of like winged a lot of numbers and kind of did a lot of guesswork. And one of my guys on the team, who was doing a lot of data analysis stuff, started asking questions that this guy was not prepared for at all. And suddenly he suddenly realized, like, uh-oh, I'm in the room with somebody who knows what they're talking about, and I've just been kind of winging it and making it up. And now I need to actually get real and have some real proper answers. Data. He eventually pulled it off, but there was definitely a nervous like 5 minutes in the middle there where it's kind of like, uh-oh, I didn't realize who I was dealing with. And I was sat there kind of just eating popcorn in the corner, like, okay.
Yeah. You're enjoying the show.
Exactly. Enjoying the drama that's going on. Yeah, I think that kind of comes to my next question, where you have those multiple people to communicate to, those multiple stakeholders. And I think that is one of the big differences between a big client, an enterprise client, and a small business, right? And when often, I mean, if you're talking really, really small business, you'll have the one person machine, the one person band who will be doing everything. So it's the same person who's doing all the marketing is the same person you're reporting to. So I guess from your experience, what other differences are there when it comes to reporting for small business compared to those enterprise clients?
The other difference, I mean, aside from the number of stakeholders involved, is I'd say still, first of all, I guess still on the number of stakeholders involved is the amount of explanation or communication that you need to do when reporting, right? Because sometimes a metric might not seem as relevant to a certain stakeholder, but it's your job as the person who's doing the reporting to explain why this is relevant. If you leave it hanging in the air, it might just like disappear, yet it's a very important metric. So I guess you also need to understand how much the person that you're reporting to knows what you're reporting about, so that you either don't spend too much time explaining something that they already know, or spend too little time explaining something that they don't know and is very important in that report, and they end up missing it or completely disregarding it as, okay, that's just a nice chart on a graph or on a report, sorry, or a nice line. So just make sure you understand who you're reporting to and how much they know, so that you know how much you need to spend time explaining certain metrics or certain numbers. The other thing that I found to be very interesting and different from small business reporting when it comes to enterprise SEO reporting is the volume of the data. So in most cases, small businesses don't have too many data points compared to enterprise SEO. So you'll find, for example, when you're dealing with multiple brands, like just cranking out one simple report doesn't work. You'll need to replicate this for multiple countries, multiple brands, multiple maybe subdomains or something like that. So the volume of the data becomes a lot more complex. And it requires you sometimes to do extra customization on, let's say, the tool that you're using, or to look for a different tool. So the regular stuff that you would do on GA4 is no longer applicable when you're working with multiple brands. Like, for example, the other day I was doing a report for a client that has mashed up multiple subdomains on GA4. So when you're looking at the landing page report, this report, if you look at the homepage alone, it contains the data for, 20 subdomains. So just looking at it, you're going to look at a number and see, okay, so the landing page has like 2 million hits in this period. But then the next page after that has like 100,000. So that disparity is so huge. It's up to you to start thinking, okay, so what other customizations can I make to add to this report so that I get a better understanding of which domain or subdomain is bringing in this 2 million. So what's the breakdown of this 2 million? And once I added something like the host name dimension on GA4, you start to see, okay, so the landing page is because the way you see the landing page on GA4, it's just the slash, right? So you get to see the slash and host name. So you're like, okay, so this is this subdomain and then this subdomain. And then at the end of the day, you can aggregate. That's how it gets to 2 million. So there are extra customizations like that that you need to think about every time that you're looking at enterprise SEO. And I think the other one would be also thinking about the tools that you're using. So depending on who you're reporting to and what they prefer, I've also found that sometimes you'll try and report on, for example, organic. It's still organic traffic, but you try and use Google Search Console, but then the enterprise will be like, no, we're not used to Google Search Console. Maybe we prefer Adobe Analytics. So all the work that you did on Google Search Console now kind of becomes a back and forth between we don't understand what you're reporting, or we're not used to these metrics. Could you now just prepare it completely pulling data from Adobe or GA4, right? So yeah, I think it's important to understand what they know, and also to try and to be flexible in reporting around. It's the same metrics, but are you flexible enough to use different tools that they are more conversant with?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've been totally guilty of the not explaining enough in a report before, kind of like, because obviously I'm very kind of like trying to keep myself up to date with the SEO news. Obviously, I record this podcast every week, like can kind of try and keep myself as up to date as I can. And I think I do a pretty good job of keeping aware of the latest trends and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I forget that, I kind of take that for granted almost, like, oh yeah, everyone kind of knows what SEO is. And you can come into a client and, like you said, you might have a different stakeholder there who has no idea what this report is about. They've just been, hey, could you come and join this meeting, please? They have no context. They have no idea. They know what marketing is. They maybe even know what digital marketing is, but they don't know the breakdowns of specific SEO stuff. And suddenly you're there explaining hreflang tags to somebody who has no idea that that's even an option or even a thing, doesn't even know what HTML is. And you're like, uh-oh. Yeah. And then you go back and explain that. And I've totally been guilty of that in the past. And I always try and, I know we do this here at Canda where we try and kind of go through that onboarding process with them and have that conversation with them. Like, not only who is interested in this data, who is going to be interested in the report side of things, which of the stakeholders that actually care about this stuff, who do we need to cater it to? But when people are on calls and stuff like that, how much do you guys know about the things we're going to be talking about? Because I can report click data and I can report impressions, and most people understand like year on year changes and all the kind of basic mathematical stuff. But like you said, when it gets so complex, as soon as it gets to bigger and bigger numbers and multiple different subdomains and international sites and all this kind of stuff, you're suddenly dealing with so much extra data that it can get lost quite quickly. And you forget that, oh, there might be one person who only works on one of the subdomains out of 20 different subdomains, and they're here in this meeting. Like, oh yeah, I've just been telling you about a thing you don't care about for the last 10 minutes, and I should probably remind myself like what's relevant, right?
Yeah.
And I think you're totally right about GA4 and Search Console obviously being such a key to so much of the data we talk about with our clients. And I found it really, really useful. This is a quick little tip, folks out there, if you want to make sure your Search Console is good for like multinational companies and stuff, have a separate property for each different subsite, whether it's subfolder, whether it's subdomain. I don't care whether you have, you know, /UK/US, whatever it is, or it's US dot subdomain kind of style, have a different property set up for each one so you can easily filter out that data. So you're not sat with one giant property where you're filtering that. Have the domain property, don't get me wrong, but have a specific one where you're able to then kind of filter down and just see those specific things. That has saved me so much time. And you mentioned GA4 there as well, Manene, like being able to customize those reports is maybe my favorite thing about GA4. And we don't say nice things about GA4 very often in SEO, but having the ability to customize, I've got an episode coming out in the future for you, but we'll already be out by the time the listeners hear this, with Dana Dittamasa talking about the power of customizing.
Man, I love listening to Dana. Sorry.
Oh, Dana's a genius. And it was great to talk with Dana about that. And we basically agreed that like that the customizing reporting thing is so powerful. And Dana even gave the example of like, if you need Jack's report or Mike's report or whatever it is, and that's just for one person, it's worth it. Don't worry about it. Like, you just filter down, get rid of all the rubbish, and just have the thing that that one person cares about. Yeah. If they want to go and have a look at GA4, they have their nice little report corner that you can click and find. So they're not suddenly, and I've totally had this before, you have a client clicking around being like, I can't find your revenue numbers that you put on the report don't match the revenue numbers I'm seeing in GA4. And am I doing traffic acquisition or user acquisition? Which attribution model are you using? And it's this constant conversation. Setting those reports ahead of time so everybody kind of knows what to expect. Agree with everybody. And of course, you can change them in the future. This isn't set again in stone, right? You can then be flexible. But I have had that be such a powerful tool where it's just like a simple little thing like customizing some GA4 reports can transform how somebody sees the data and understands the data from their point of view. And suddenly they're not completely overwhelmed with all the data coming out from GA4 at once.
And it can be overwhelming. I feel like one of the reasons why we don't give GA4 as much credit as we should is because it's overwhelming to us as SEOs. So half the time, if it's overwhelming to us, we don't hype it up because we don't get it. And I love playing around with GA4, just figuring out new things and also understanding different numbers, because it's easy to get lost in the absolute figures and then forget that those are never going to be accurate. So the other reason why I love understanding the absolute figures is not so that I can report them, but so that I can explain them in case a client comes up with a question. Like, for example, a client will ask, okay, why aren't these landing page numbers? Why do they look different from a different property? Or why do the clicks on GA4 look different from the sessions? Clicks on Search Console look different from the sessions on GA4. And then now you're stuck there like, oh shit, by the way, they're different. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I think like the details of the data and having the difference between one person is reporting users, one person is reporting sessions, yeah. The other person is reporting clicks, and you've got three numbers that in theory sound the same.
Yeah.
And obviously, we've had a recontextualization with GA4 and how everything is an event now. So every page view, every key events, as I talked about with Dana, like now conversions being called key events and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating side of things where you're understanding like not only the nuance of the data itself, but what it means and why anyone should care about it. And like I said, having these conversations as early on as possible with clients, from my experience, has been a really positive thing.
100%.
A lot of the time, that does depend on their knowledge. Like we'll often ask this question here at Canda, and we were working with a client who, again, is one of these people who is not trained in SEO, and that is not a problem. We are happy to educate and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, I don't know, what do you think? And they kind of leave it up to us. It's like, okay, cool. We'll have these things. We'll include some explainers in here of like why we think this is relevant to you and your business, rather than just, oh, we'll just give you everything and you can work it out, which I think is not fair on some people who don't know data and are not used to handling that kind of stuff. That's not their job. That's not their role. But we can, as SEOs, we can assist them, right, in thinking like, I think this might be the most relevant thing for you, or this might be the best tool or the best option for you in that side of things. And speaking of tools, are there any tools you'd kind of recommend for enterprise SEO reporting? I know we talk about a lot of different tools on the show pretty regularly. Most people know the big ones like Ahrefs and SEMrush and all that kind of stuff. Is there anything specific, any kind of like custom tools or specific things from your experience you found really, really helped, or maybe a feature in a tool people already know that you might, you know, unlock a little secret potential?
I think one of my favorite tools, it's still around the realm of reporting, but it's more tracking, is Google Tag Manager. I feel like that's where all the sweet stuff begins before you can even come to the visualization and getting the numbers and all that stuff. I found in several instances, I'll go to a GA4 account looking for certain numbers, and then something clicks and it doesn't make sense how this number is so low or so high. And half the time when I go back to Google Tag Manager, I'm like, you've been tracking this wrong from the beginning. So we're going to get it wrong even when I do the visualization. So I love how easy it is to tweak things from the baseline, and then things just start to pile up. So Google Tag Manager is definitely one of my favorite ones. Not really a reporting tool, but a tracking tool, if you think about it. Of course, looking at the data, Google Analytics, GA4 is definitely top on the list. With visualization, of course, with looking at the data as well, Google Analytics, I mean, Google Search Console comes in a long way. Tools like SEMrush and Ahrefs, like you mentioned, when you're looking at different data points, come a long way as well. But for visualization, I love using Looker Studio. It's pretty easy. It's free. You can pull in a lot of data. I think over time they've also made it faster. Around the same time they changed it to Looker Studio, it was so slow. I'd create a report, send it to a client, and be like, I've never looked at it since the last time we had a meeting because it's so slow. I can't spend all that time to look at it.
I have done that. I have been on a call with a client and so have like multiple pages, like, oh, there's the front dashboard and there's a couple of other dashboards that are like focused on something. And I will click and I'll be like, please bear with me for a couple of minutes while this loads. How are you? How's the weather? How's your family? How's your cat and or dog doing today? Anyway, here's page two. And it's like, you're so right. It would take so long. You'd have to like have a separate conversation, a separate meeting within a meeting to let the thing load. But yeah, Looker Studio is a fascinating one. I think a lot of us in SEO, and I am totally guilty of this. I'll hold my hands up. Used it completely wrong and use it in a way where we almost try and like kind of replicate a presentation deck, a presentation slide, rather than having it like this interactive dashboard thing. And I know this is a conversation we've been having a lot here at Canda about the way we present the data and how different visualizations can really, really help how people understand data, right? Just seeing, some people can see a table and some numbers, sort the table and be happy with it, and it all just kind of clicks. Like you were saying yourself, Manoni, like being a data nerd helps for all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If that excites you. But if you're not a data person, you're way more of a visual person. Yeah. Maybe a graph or a pie chart or an interactive thing that you can move around, like the power of Looker Studio, where you can, like you said, integrate Search Console and analytics data, bring in SEMrush, Ahrefs, Systrix, Dragon Metrics, whatever it is, whatever tracking tool you're using, to bring them all together and kind of have it all in one place. I love that kind of stuff, being able to kind of make it look appealing and interesting and color code stuff and having consistency where like, oh, you can see that, you know, the blue chart is our French speaking site. So you can see the blue chart last month is now bigger than it was the next month or the next year or whatever it is. Even tiny little things like that I find really useful to, like we're saying, help those clients who are less data focused, who their role is not to dig through the data, to then kind of translate it for them, get it. You want it to be as easy for them to access as possible, right?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think one also interesting thing that I've had to force myself to learn is that there are some people who, of course, like you said, prefer to look at the numbers. But then, especially when you're dealing with enterprise SEO, the numbers sometimes can be so huge, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant to even have them on that page, because you'll have, for example, a page that brought in like 2 million clicks, for example. So by the time they're writing 2 million on a whole report, it's so large, like it's confusing to look at that and then look at another million, look at another 20 million, you know. So it's been interesting to also use Looker Studio, or even another tool that I love to use, by the way, is Power BI. If you're concerned that your Looker Studio is going to be slow or anything like that, Power BI helps you to also kind of do the same things that Looker Studio can do. But I love how easy it is to bring in data, and then it's very fast. So I absolutely love that about it, especially when you have large chunks of data and multiple data sources. But the interesting bit is that if you just want to show the trend, for example, like a percentage, you can, I kind of call it, I'm trying to look, the Swahili word for it is jua kali. So I'm trying to look for the English word for it, where you just play around with the setup such that you get to hide the 2 million and only show the percentage increase or percentage drop. So that so that you help the client or whoever is reading the report not to focus on numbers that don't make sense, but only to focus on the trends. Because at the end of the day, you don't want them asking you questions like, why does this show 2 million here, yet when we look on a different platform it shows 1 million or I don't know, or 10 million, something like that. The most important thing in most of these tools is for you to look at the trend. So is it an upward trajectory or is it a downward trajectory? So you help them to not focus too much on absolute figures, but rather the relative percentages.
Yeah, I think that's such a powerful way to kind of, like I said, contextualize that data, right? Understanding the percentage changes of, if it goes up from 1.5 to 2 million or whatever it is, that's great and cool and stuff. how you present that data, whether that is, oh yeah, that is a 33% increase here, that makes so much more sense to so many people. And I think you mentioned, like, literally typing out all the zeros for 2 million can be one thing, but like having a, I've had it where it's the other way around. I put it into a graph and I thought, oh, this will solve the problem. Except like the homepage gets 2 million visits. The other ones get, like you were saying earlier, like 100,000. So you had one like up here and then everything else is down here. So everything else looks like basically one or zero compared to the 2 million right at the top. And you're like, right, okay. And like I said, filtering stuff out, having that ability to customize the reports, remove the home page from some reports because it will get the most clicks, or whatever page is getting an insane amount of clicks, removing that and being like, okay, now I have the actual like comparative context of this is the area we've been focusing on in terms of the content. This is the, you know, the blog or the news section or whatever it is. This is the content cluster we've been working on, the topic clusters we've been building, filtering that out and having them compare to each other. So like, oh, here's one we worked on 6 months ago, here's the one we're working on at the moment. They're all up by 20%, this one's up by 50%. Being able to like contextualize each other with each other, I find is really, really useful to kind of still keep that bigger picture in mind, but also have an idea of, and I think this is a key to all SEO reporting, what work you're doing that has actually affected this increase or this report, right? Like, you can say the whole site is up by 100%. It's like, okay, are you talking organic traffic? Are you talking because of the links you've been building? Is it because of your content? Is it because of the updates to the product pages? Like, what work have you done that has increased this? And drilling down into those specific areas, into those specific pages, I think is a really, really useful thing to do to give that full context to the clients.
Yeah, I think just to add on to it, I think I heard you mention what work have you done to particularly prove that this movement in the numbers can be attributed to what you did. Another really cool tool that I feel I should mention is causal impact. It requires like building some custom code and stuff like that, but it uses some really interesting technology to just isolate the work that you did to help understand, okay, so if you had not worked on these pages, the trend would have gone like this. But because you worked on these pages, we are able to show that the graph started rising, right? So
right.
It helps you, especially when you have a control group. I think that's one of the most important things that many SEOs forget to have. Like, a group of pages that you just don't touch, and for the purpose of intentionally not optimizing them, so that when it comes to your reporting, you can show we didn't optimize these pages. So if you compare the performance of the pages that we did not optimize versus the performance of the pages that we did optimize, we can clearly show that the reason why your site is either dropping in traffic or increasing in traffic is the work that we did. So causal impact is a really powerful tool for you to be able to isolate certain events. And I've found digging into the data sometimes helps you to understand whether a website increasing in traffic or revenue or any other metric can be attributed to the work that you did. It really helps to really dig into the numbers and understand when exactly did you start to work on it? When are we starting to see the movement? Because sometimes you might have like movement that is attributed to seasonal changes or certain events. Like an interesting one that we caught the other day, just because we decided to dig into the numbers, was a jet charter company that saw a drop in traffic. And at first glance, we initially thought, okay, this definitely has to do with the March core update. But then digging into the numbers and starting to understand, okay, when exactly did it start? It started around February. So it was easy to look at it and be like, okay, maybe it's connected to the March update. But I was a little more curious because the March update started in March. It doesn't make sense that these guys started dropping traffic in February. And then we come to realize there's a lot of interest in jets around the Super Bowl. So whether people are leasing jets.
Of course.
So whether people are leasing jets or just trying to figure out how jets are ruining the environment around the Super Bowl. So who is hiring what or who is coming in with what jet, stuff like that, right? So the traffic kind of went up around the same period and then started to tank. So I think digging into such data and being a data nerd sometimes helps because you end up not spending too much time trying to figure out how to solve a non-existent problem. Because if we hadn't caught that, I think we're about to change our whole strategy and try to figure out how do we help this website to revive? What's going on? Is it connected to the March core update? But then if you look at something like that and then you're able to see, okay, it's related to Super Bowl, you just lay back and be like, there's nothing we can do about that because it's totally not related to anything that we've done so far.
Yeah, I think seeing that bigger picture side of things, I was talking about it earlier in the context of the site itself, but seeing the bigger picture, not only within SEO, but within the world. So like you're saying, like you instantly think, okay, I'll think of the bigger picture. What else has been happening? Oh yeah, there's been some core updates. We're at the time of recording at the end of April, we're still in the March update. It's still rolling out like 40 something days later. And you think like, okay, what else could it be? And brilliant point there. Like, oh, it could be something as simple as the Super Bowl happened, the biggest sporting event in the world happened. Like, yeah, that can make a huge difference to certain businesses. And it's not even like you don't come in thinking of that as like necessarily a seasonal thing. Like you think about seasonality in terms of Christmas or Valentine's Day
Black
or these
Friday.
particular holidays, whatever.
Yeah.
Black Friday, perfect example, right? E-commerce stuff on Black Friday. The Super Bowl affecting jets. As soon as you said it, viewers and watching on YouTube as well, you probably saw my reaction, which was like, "Of course, yeah,
Makes sense.
that makes so much sense." Yeah, but if you're not thinking with that bigger picture kind of point of view, and you're not coming at it with a just taking a step back outside of SEO, like what is happening in the world right now that could be affecting that, that is a brilliant way of thinking about it. And when you're thinking about big clients that have international bases and multinational kind of purposes, there is so much stuff going on in the world, political stuff, shifts in economies, and all this kind of stuff that can make such a big difference. And then you don't even realize, like you said, oh, the traffic has changed in this part of Europe. It's like, why? It's like, oh, there was an election somewhere and this changed this or whatever. It's like, okay. Or a sporting event happened. The World Cup happens to be in that part of the world. So suddenly everything goes up. You're like, oh, yeah, of course, of course. I love that kind of stuff. I think that's a skill in of itself as well, right? Like being able to take that step back and see things in the bigger picture side of things is something I am totally guilty of not doing. I am very much a that this is my like ADHD brain, like focusing on all the details and being like, yeah, this is just me like super hyper focused on one thing rather than zooming out and seeing the bigger picture. What are other kind of skills that you think are important for enterprise SEO, client reporting and stuff like that?
The bigger picture, definitely, like you said, is one of the really important skills. Another one I think that I would mention would be also just knowing what numbers matter, because it's excuse me, it's easy to get lost in SEO metrics because there are so many. You go to every different tool has so many numbers that they can offer you. But I think just looking at a certain metric and knowing that this is the one that matters for this objective, I feel like is a skill in of itself. Because you don't want to either confuse the stakeholders or the team that you're working with, or even confuse yourself or the client, right? So just knowing which metric at the end of the day that you need to track in order to report or show the results of a certain SEO effort is very important. So for example, you don't want to end up, for example, like optimizing page speed, and then you're not looking at page speed insights, right? Because now the most immediate metric for you there becomes, we optimize this page when we load it. When we look at, for example, Page Speed Insights or GT Metrics, what is the performance of this page, right? Or what is the performance of this website? So if you run to look at something like clicks, it will influence clicks in the end, but the most immediate metric that you want to look at is what has directly been influenced by the activity that you've done. Another one, I think, is learning the visualizations. That took me quite a while when I initially started to play around with Luca Studio, because there's so many visualizations, like you said, to play around with. And it's easy to think about, like, bar graphs help all the time, but then you get a situation like the one that you were saying, where you have one page with 2 million, another one with 100,000, and the 100,000 just looks like it is doing terribly, right? So you need to think about like how to visualize this information better, and you need to play around with things like pie charts or bubble graphs or histograms. I remember initially when I started working at Wordlift, we'd always have this like kind of back and forth with my CEO Andrea. He's really good at looking at the data, and then, as you can imagine, with a CEO, he also doesn't have, like, he doesn't want to look at so many numbers. So he quickly pushes you to, okay, so, like, at the spur of the moment, what am I looking at? Why did you send me this report? And I'd always be like, it's right there. Can't you see that the numbers are going up? So I guess constantly thinking about what's the easiest way for me to visualize this information. So that it can be quickly digested by whoever is looking at it helps. So half the time I'll find myself, whenever I'm building these reports, playing around with different visualizations. Like, okay, so what if I did this like in a line graph? Would it be better? Would maybe the numbers actually look better than the graphs or the pie charts and all that stuff? So sometimes you might have like a pie chart that you have so many data sets, or maybe you're looking at URLs, for example, or query performance. You're gonna have so many lines on that graph, it's insane. So you think, okay, maybe I should try using a bubble chart, for example. And then now all of a sudden you have these bubbles. You have so many bubbles, but you can quickly pinpoint, okay, the largest bubble is the best performing bubble. So let's go with that. So the visualizations come in really handy. Another interesting skill that I've found is to also just be constantly looking for new ways to either export the data or extract it. So in some instances, I've had to use custom code. I feel like I've learned a lot more. I've dealt with a lot more Python within the past couple of years than I have ever needed to, because half the time you find the data that you need is not in a typical tool. So you need to learn how to extract it. Like with Wordlift, we deal a lot with entities. And some of these data sets are not you're not gonna use, for example, like Streaming Frog to extract all the entities that you need. So being able to extract that and be like, okay, so these are the entities that exist on a starting page, and then now I can come and show on Luca Studio how those entities are performing on particular pages, or how they're performing on in terms of ranking, helps. So I guess whenever you're dealing with custom enterprise situations, you also need to develop certain skills that help with reporting for those custom sort of situations. So I guess it depends. Sometimes I've seen people who prefer to use BigQuery, or people who primarily just use Python or Power BI or whatever. So I guess just knowing who is your target audience, you can just decide to focus on that custom tool like BigQuery or Luca Studio or Power BI. But you don't need to really know everything, I would say, because there's so much. There are so many reporting tools out there. It's easy to get lost in all of them.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true, where you're going to find you could end up with like using three or four different ways to report the same thing. And like we said earlier, you're going to get different numbers, you're going to get slightly different things. And then that becomes that much more confusing when I have had this, where use the example of like Adobe Analytics, right? You have a client who is used that previously, and you come in with your Google Analytics knowledge. This was before GA4. And I came in and I was like, okay, cool. I'm looking at these numbers. And their reporting was already set up with the Adobe side of things. And then I brought on the Google Analytics side on top of that. And it was just like absolute chaos on the screen. And there were so many different things going on. And we had one half of the dashboard was for Adobe, one half was for Google. And it was all like, it was so confusing. I was like, this is not the way we should do this. And that was a big learning thing for me of like, don't try to do it all at once, right? Like, make sure you're using the right tool for the job, whether that is custom coding something in Python, or I know a lot, I've been speaking to Miriam Jessier about BigQuery a lot recently, and like learning more about how important that is to handle these huge data sets when it comes to Google Analytics and stuff like that. You can do your own digital archiving and all that kind of stuff. There's plenty of different options and methods of doing that. But yeah, handling big sets of data can get pretty intimidating pretty quickly, especially, like you said, if it's coming from different sources and different places. Yeah. Where you're kind of suddenly, even us data nerds get overwhelmed with all the different things going on as well.
I know. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Manane. It's been a lot of fun. I've had my cheeks hurt from laughing, which is always a good sign of a good podcast, right?
Yeah. Mine too. I feel like I've got so much water. That shows you've been speaking a lot.
Drink lots of water, laugh a lot. That's a good podcast. And hopefully we've learned a few things along the way as well, right?
Yeah. For sure. I hope it wasn't just ranting. We kind of give some information.
Yeah, I like a little bit of balance of both on Search for the Candor. We'll go for a little bit of ranting, a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of ranting, a little bit of knowledge.
Yeah, love it.
So how can people follow you on the internet, follow up with what you're doing in SEO? Like I mentioned, Search Africon coming up next week. I'll put a link for that in the show notes. But where else can people find you on social media and other places like that?
I'm Monene Mombi on all platforms. So I'm mostly active on LinkedIn and Twitter as well. But I guess LinkedIn is where I'll mostly you'll mostly find me. I know people tend to shed a lot of LinkedIn, and now it's turning into like an Instagram of sorts for professionals. But I still find myself spending a lot of time on it because so many people are sharing incredible insights. I feel like SEOs are usually kind of like influencers. I don't know if there's a single field where there are so many people talking about what they're doing on a day-to-day basis like SEOs do. So I love that about how much SEOs share. So you can find me on LinkedIn. I don't share as much as I should. So I'm probably just resharing or liking or commenting on stuff. But then I'm also on Twitter as Monene Mombi or at Monene KL. I'm pretty sure you'll have the social somewhere in the description. and like you said, I'll also be speaking at Search Africon next month. Pretty exciting stuff to be now. I guess that one will be a lot more starting off, so like the baseline, how for people who want to get started with reporting. I feel like today's was a little more technical, and anyone who is starting out in reporting might have gotten lost in what are you talking about, bubble charts and all that stuff. So yeah, I'll try and make it as simple for beginners as possible, because that's one of the things that we are hoping to do in that conference. Yeah, I guess that's awesome. Mostly where you can find me.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for joining me, man. Really appreciate you coming on the show. Like I said, folks, all the links for everything we've just talked about will be in the show notes, whether you're watching on YouTube, Spotify, wherever you are. Go and check it out. Go and follow Manene and go and check out Search Africon. Go and check it out.
Awesome.
Thanks so much for joining me.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Thank you so much for listening or watching wherever you're watching or listening. Thank you to Manene Mumbi for joining me on the show. Like I said, if you haven't already, please do go and check out Search Africon. Manene is talking, and it's going to be a really exciting event. Tickets are just $10 for the online videos. I know I've just bought my ticket, and you can go and check it out. So I will put links for everything in the show notes that we talked about. So you can go and check it in the video description if you're watching on YouTube, or the show notes if you're on Spotify or wherever you're listening to the podcast. Please do go and check it out. Go and support the amazing work that the team behind Search Africon are doing, and go and check it out, because it is a really amazing community that seems to be building up across Africa, and it's amazing to have these new voices and new perspectives in the community. And I'm very excited to have already had some of the speakers on the show, and to have more of the guests and speakers and members of that community on the podcast in the future. Speaking of which, stay tuned for some more awesome topics and guests coming up in the next few weeks. Of course, at the end of the month, I'll do the recap episode we always do when Mark and I get back here in the studio, and we'll talk all about the search news that was in May 2024. If you want to hear a particular person or a particular topic on the show, please do let me know. I take requests. So yeah, come and check it out. If you have any guests or any topics you'd like us to discuss here on the show, please do let us know. You can leave comments on the YouTube. You can post in the Q&A section on Spotify. I know that's a way to send us questions and stuff like that as well. So get involved, interact with us, ask questions, all that good stuff. And I massively appreciate you listening, enjoying, interacting with the show, and supporting us throughout season 3 as well. Until next week, thank you so much for listening, and have a lovely week.